Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Panama is expecting another day of political trouble, both the anti-American kind, at which the government winks, and protest against suspected corruption and human rights abuses by Panama's military strongman, Antonio Noriega, which seems to be growing. Today, the Chamber of Commerce has called a general strike. We get more from Richard Schlesinger in Panama City.
Although it has now been 3 days since the Panamanian government lifted a state of siege, it is clear the authorities have set strict limits on freedom here. Yesterday, students at the National University built blockades and threw rocks at riot police who ripped down their protest signs and fired buckshot into the university grounds. In downtown Panama City, an exclusive shop was destroyed by fire. The store is owned by a prominent anti-government leader, and his son blamed government sympathizers for setting the blaze. And despite the lifting of press censorship here, while street fights shifted through the city, the government shut down the only remaining opposition radio station. This is the second round of strong anti-government protests here in a month, but this time some observers believe the protests are stronger. Richard Schlesinger, CBS News, Panama City.
There is also continued unrest in Haiti. This was how it sounded yesterday as people took to the streets of Port-au-Prince to demand truly independent supervision of the first national election since the downfall of baby Doc Duvalier. At least a dozen people have been killed in this week's rioting, and there have been two general strikes. And as Victoria Corderi reports, the military rulers have retreated somewhat.
After a third day of violence, Haiti's government gave in to some of the demands of the rioters. Last night, the government of General Henri Nansby annulled an election decree that sparked the rioting and a nationwide strike earlier in the week. The decree gave the interim government control over what was supposed to be Haiti's first free elections in 30 years. It was widely viewed here as an attempt to seize power and to undermine Haiti's recently passed constitution. Pressure from the anti-government opposition also forced the resignation of Nansby's information minister, who had taken a particularly hard line in defense of the election decree. The fear here is the concessions may be too little, too late, for people who fear their struggling democracy is threatened by Nansby's government. Victoria Corderi, CBS News, Port-au-Prince.
Having won promises of direct presidential elections, South Korean dissidents were making new demands today, as reported for us from Seoul by Barry Peterson.
There were thousands for a mass rally that ended not with violence, but with chants. The students are demanding a faster release of political prisoners and say they don't believe President Chun Doo-hwan's promise of an election to choose Korea's next president. But it was obvious the government was cooling it. Not a single uniformed riot policeman at the main gate, where confrontation is almost ritual. The riot police were around all right, but standing by several blocks away. Meanwhile, the politicians were busy, too, working out plans to revise the nation's constitution and set up the election. One ruling party member involved in the delicate talks said the election will probably be held in late November or early December. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Seoul.
3.5 minutes past the hour.
Nobody can keep up with Nissan. Introducing the new lower price Nissan Hardbody 4x4 V6. Now it doesn't cost more to drive more. Harder. Faster. You with me? Because dollar for dollar, you get more horsepower than any compact 4x4 truck. You get a truck with pull, the biggest cargo box, and the biggest cab for three kinds of comfort. Long, deep, and wide. Hang on! This is it. Nissan, the one with everything. Power, punch, and a lower price. Nissan's new hardbody 4x4 V6. It moves.
We make it feel like driving.
In Lyon today, justice will be meted out for war crimes most French men and women are too young to remember. Tom Fenton reports.
This is the day of decision awaited for 8 weeks by Klaus Barbie, those of his victims who survived torture and deportation to Nazi death camps, and the generation that still remembers the dark days of World War II. The expected guilty verdict, which the judge and jury will deliver late today, will have different meanings for all of them. For Barbie, the still unrepentant Nazi, now 73 and ailing, The life sentence the prosecution has requested would mean several more years in a French prison. For his victims, it will mean justice, but justice delayed by more than 40 years because American Army counterintelligence officers helped Barbie escape to South America after World War II. For the rest of France, both young and old, the trial reopened a chapter many knew little about or preferred to forget. No one who attended this trial and heard trembling witnesses tell their painful stories will ever forget the brutality and sadism with which Barbie arrested, tortured, and sent to death thousands of Jews and resistance fighters. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Lyon.
There's been another Israeli air raid into Lebanon, but this time the targets are reported to be in the Syrian-controlled Bekaa Valley. Usually, Israeli jets and helicopters go after targets in the south, well away from Syrian air defenses. The French Foreign Ministry says its Tehran embassy is virtually blockaded, with even Iranian personnel prevented from entering or leaving. The Iranian security cordon is in retaliation for a cordon around the Iranian embassy in Paris, part of French efforts to question an Iranian about terrorism. America likes to be seen as a land with golden doors for immigrants. But today, the world sees a different picture, the mass death of illegal Mexican aliens behind locked wooden doors on a sweltering West Texas rail line. Luis Patino reports from KTSM El Paso.
The bodies of 18 undocumented immigrants are lying in a mortuary in this city where their fatal journey began. Dr. Bill Lipsey says they suffocated to death as the boxcar they were being smuggled in ran out of enough air to support them. Only Miguel Postada Rodriguez, who was only 21, survived. He told authorities the last remaining companions made periodic checks to see who was still alive as they scratched and clawed the corners of the Missouri Railroad car, trying desperately to make air holes. He says four were still alive only an hour and a half before they were discovered. Luis Patino for CBS News, El Paso.
7:30 past the hour.
If your business takes you on short flights, at last, there's a frequent flyer program for you.
Excuse me, but you look familiar. Now, you fly Southwest Airlines a lot between here and Phoenix on business, don't you? Me too. Well, you're gonna make a buck. Say, you must be as thrilled as I am with this new frequent flyer program they've just come out with. You hadn't heard of it? It's wonderful. It's called the Company Club. Now, as a rule, I don't pay a lot of mind to advertising, but this one phrase from a Southwest brochure just kind of stuck in my mind. It said, take the company plane for the frequent flights you need, and, oh, yeah, join the company club for the free trips you deserve. Now, how do you like that? If you like, I'll repeat it, and you can write it down there. It said, take the company plane. Am I going too fast for you?
Just 10 round trips on Southwest Airlines get you a free round trip anywhere we fly. So join the company club, the shortest route to free trips.
The preceding message included a voice impersonation.
KNX 1070.
First ever attempt to float across the Atlantic in a hot air balloon called Virgin Atlantic Flyer is nearing a successful conclusion. Dan Revive reports.
Richard Branson said about 3 hours from now, he and his more experienced partner in the balloon, Per Lindstrand, expect to land perhaps 150 miles north of London.
I hope to see some people in England very soon.
Branson spoke by radio telephone to the British network ITN.
Well, we've had a wonderful trip, and it's not much longer to go, we hope. We know that the landing is, in a sense, the trickiest part. So we're about to get ourselves prepared for that.
The world's largest hot air balloon will be landing, if all goes well, only about 33 hours after it took off from Maine, a record for distance and speed. Branson is a 36-year-old self-made millionaire, and while floating over the Atlantic during the night, had the benefit of his mother's advice. Eve Branson said she saw the balloon and spoke to Richard by radio while passing nearby, flying to London on the airline he owns.
And I told him to hurry up, and he was going too slow.
Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
Argentina's President Alfonsine has denounced it as a political act, the bizarre grave robbing in which someone cut the hands off the corpse of former President Juan Perón. The thieves are demanding an $8 million ransom for the hands. The dollar is generally higher overseas today. The London gold price fell $3.50 to $443 an ounce. Time on the World News Roundup, 10 past the hour.